attention. Some of the group going into Georgetown take care of affidavits to get back at Timothy Stone and sue him for several $1 million for his slander, his libel, his criminal activity. Said when they left, well, place will fall apart, they won't get the job done, they won't be able to get any production. Every department, will you work, roll your sleeves up and tell the observers to go around and tell the crews this, work, roll your sleeves up. I'd like to show them that we not only maintain production, but that we go ahead of them when if they had been here. No one should feel that they're indispensable. And they said it quite seriously. Nice people, but they said it quite seriously. So I would like for you to get that message to every department to step up, because now we have this antenna. So please step up and do things that they wouldn't have gotten done if they'd been here. Thank you and much love.
Okay.
Plants in Washington. Is in death law dismissed, failing to get U.S. support for his internal settlement plan, and the Rhodesian leader's refusal to accept the Anglo-American plan for all parties. Conference. It has been circulated widely in news circles that USA had intended to accept his racist plan, but the American public is clamoring too much, but more so, the world opinion is grossly turned against Ian Smith and the USA for backing both the racist regimes of Rhodesia and the fascist concentration camp regime of the Union of South Africa. A U.S. State Department spokesperson said that the U.S. believes an all-parties conference is the only way to achieve a peaceful settlement. Mr. Smith told reporters today that he will move forward with his plan even if the black activist revolutionary leadership rejects it. He said if there is no settlement, Rhodesia 10 years from now will be the same as today. In other words, he will carry on the white regime and its fascist torture and murderous, barbarous attacks on black people and maintenance of concentration camps. He said it'll be the same today. Settlement, Rhodesia 10 years from now will be the same today. He admitted that Anglo-British support for his plan would solve many problems, but said that its absence would not mean the collapse of his fascist government. Smith is accompanied by on his Washington visit by fellow council minister and sellout Reverend Sitoli is rather than the way it pronounces, I think. It doesn't matter. And Uncle Tom Black. There's only three blacks that support his government. All of them are religious leaders. One, they have the Baptist, the other minister, the Methodist, and I think the other is one of the Protestant varieties. In another week, they will be joined by two other members of the interim biracial government. The only two there is left to join them. Meanwhile, Rhodesia's biracial government has officially announced an end to all discrimination throughout the country. No greater lie, said Radio Sweden, could be told. Rhodesian government officials told newsmen in Salisbury that residential areas will be open to people of all races, provided the character and standards of the area are maintained. This is a clear racist restriction, even BBC said. This is just foolish to try to pretend that there's going to be integration with Ian Smith as the prime minister of this dreaded regime of Rhodesia. In Washington, a State Department spokesperson said it is true that the racial discrimination. Better stop and listen to the news. Don't turn me off. It'll hurt you. It's you that has to take 5 extra days of classes if you fail. It is true, he said. In Washington, the State Department spokesperson said that the racial discrimination has been abolished unconditionally. However, it has been denied by United States allies, even such as Netherlands and France and Britain. But USA doesn't mind even lying. Anyone knows that racism has not been abolished when blacks are maintained in concentration camps in Rhodesia, and there's absolute separation. The United States welcomes it, this so-called integration, as an important step in the abolition of barriers that have separated the Rhodesian people. We go to the Middle East. At the United Nations General Assembly, the Syrian representative has described the Camp David sellout agreements as illegal and invalid. The deputy foreign minister told the assembly that the agreements are against the United Nations resolution and the decision of the Arab-Soviet meeting. He said that President Sadat, or dictator Sadat, whatever you choose to call him, of Egypt, has no right to sign the agreement on behalf of the Palestinian people for Syria. He denounced Israel for interfering in Lebanon on the side of the right-wing, I should say, Nazi phalangist Christian military unit. He said that a comprehensive settlement of the Middle East problem will be attained only through the framework of the Geneva Peace Conference with the participation of all concerned parties. In Lebanon today, heavy sniper fire threatened a three-day-old ceasefire between Syrian troops and Lebanese fascist Christians. News reports say the action centered around the main crossroads connecting the Christian and Muslim sectors. As you may know, the Lebanese phalangists or fascists who are Christian are being backed by the USA, while the Muslim are being backed by the progressive USSR, the avant-garde of liberation, and her ally in Syria. News reports say the action centered around the main crossroads, as I said, connecting the Christian and Muslim sectors of Beirut. Meanwhile, the Lebanese president announced continuous talks in order to resolve the Lebanese conflict. He announced today that he is inviting Arab states to participate in Arab-Lebanese peacekeeping talks. Egypt's delegation to the Mideast talks. With Israel stopped in Paris today for a consultation with French leaders before continuing on to the United States. The delegation meets tonight with the French foreign minister, one of the lackeys of U.S. imperialism normally. The delegation also will include Egypt President Sadat told a group of judges in Cairo today that the delegation has full instructions to negotiate on any matter with Israel except for the land and sovereignty of Egypt. That would mean they would not have the power to let Israel, Zionist, fascist Israel, to keep the Gaza Strip that belongs to Egypt. And of course, Jordan is not about to give her West Bank, but she wasn't even invited to the meeting, nor was Lebanon, who had to give up their southern part of their nation that's been invaded by the Israelite Zionist. In New York, Egypt's ambassador to the United Nations General Assembly said his country still hopes for a comprehensive Mideast settlement and is not seeking a separate peace with Israel. He added that the Camp David agreements provide the basis for an overall Middle East agreement. In Washington, Carter meets with Israeli Foreign Minister Dayan this afternoon. He's one of the more fascist varieties also. Africa. Britain says it is considering military aid to Zambia, but will not send combat troops to the Southern African nation. A foreign officer spokesperson in London said the British government is considering measures to help Zambia's defense capability other than troops. However, the spokesperson did not rule out sending ground-to-air missiles on vertical takeoff fighter planes. The spokesperson also declined to comment on possibly sending military technical advisors to assist the Zambian forces. The foreign office of Britain or England spokesperson said measures to help Zambia's defense forces against possible Rhodesian military raids is one of the subjects discussed by the Prime Minister James Callaghan of the Socialist Labour Party, that's now the Prime Minister of England, and the Zambian President of Nigeria 2 weeks ago. It is figured that this may be a move of conscience on the part of Callaghan and his Foreign Secretary Owens, as they expect to lose the next election. And in their place will come Margaret Thatcher, woman, white racist, leader of the Conservative Party, who promises to take all people of color and drive them out of England. But it is clearly frowned upon in Washington and is a departure from the NATO wishes. Zambia has concluded an agreement with South Africa for a new route to the sea for its vital import-export trade. Under the agreement between the two railways of the two countries, fertilizer will be shipped by railway to Mozambique, South Africa, and Rhodesia to Zambia. Zambian copper will be sent to South Africa on the return trip. The route opens the Southern Railway route through Rhodesia, closed since 1973. The Zambian government is faced with serious congestion in her ports, and last week opened her border to Rhodesia to help Zambia's critical economic problems despite the strong objections of Zambian black labor rights. There may be, according to Moscow, also a tempering down of the left stand of Zambia's government. For some reason, though, the British, and lackey of U.S. imperialism, feel to draw closer to its government. So it's probably not that good a sign. The South African Prime Minister has ruled out the possibility of an African majority rule. At the recent meeting of the National Party, Christian Party, fascist in Cape Town, Union of South Africa, he voiced confidence that the West would give full backing to his policy, meaning U.S. and her imperialist allies or lackeys. The Western powers, he pointed out, are vitally interested in the survival of the present rule in South Africa, because they need what we supply them economically in order to live. That's true. That's why U.S. will do anything. They'll murder half of black Africa, if they could, to be able to save it so they can exploit its minerals. Spokesman for the African National Congress of South Africa stated while visiting the capital of Angola that there are literally hundreds of thousands of prisoners in South African jails. ANC is an activist group. It's everywhere in the Union of South Africa and causing them a great deal of trouble and creates acts of sabotage, assassination of the dread police of the Union of South Africa, and blowing up police stations. They are an activist group that are growing largely every day. It is told by BBC that Moscow is funding them. Moscow makes no denial of the fact. Among them, in this Angolan conference, and speaking about those hundreds of thousands of prisoners in South African jails, among them are Congress leaders who were imprisoned without trial or investigation. He accused the Western powers of supporting the apartheid policies pursued by the Praetorian fascist regime. The main brunt of his attack was on the USA. Tanzania will give all-out support to the people of Mozambique, the victims of constant assault by the racist Salisbury regime that has been supplied new military hardware by the U.S., de facto fascist, that's what USA is. This was put forth in a statement by the President of Tanzania, Bravo. President of Tanzania, President Nair, is a personal friend of our beloved Prime Minister Burnham here and of our party, the People's National Congress. In Tunisia, a large group of trade union leaders were sentenced for imprisonment from 6 months to 10 years. The General Secretary of the Tunisian Labor Association was sentenced to 10 years of hard labor. The union leaders were charged with conspiracy to overthrow the present regime and organizing the general strike held in January 26th. More than 50 persons were killed and police dispersed demonstrations which accompanied the strike. The biggest international trade union association, including the Soviet trade unions, came out in defense of the persecuted union leaders in the fascist state of Tunisia, which is, of course, an ally of USA imperialism. Moscow. In a meeting in Moscow on Monday, Soviet and Italian Communist Party leader Leonid Brezhnev and Enrico Berlinguer reconfirmed the solidarity of their parties to achieve national and social liberation for all Afro-Asian and Latin American peoples. They expressed a desire for joint efforts to expand international cooperation and to deter the arms race before nuclear hell rains down upon USA and Europe. The Association of Afro-Asian Journalists has accused Beijing's reaction to the South African situation as a very dangerous policy on the world scene. The head of the Association of Afro-Asian Journalists said that the Chinese leader's policy had aided the undermining of national liberation and progress of movements also in Asia, Latin America, Africa, and are discrediting socialist ideals everywhere. Their foreign policy is so horrible, it's too bad that they cannot live with a better foreign policy. Marx and Lenin, they're clear out of step. Marx would never approve of building a pure kind of domestic communism they have at home and then practicing fascism abroad. This is absolutely contradictory. This is the 20th anniversary of the Afro-Asian Journalists Association. Leonid Brezhnev, head of the Communist Party in USSR, sent his greetings and congratulations to the meeting which just convened in the Soviet Union. He praised them as implementing the ideas of freedom, humanitarianism, and democracy. The current meetings is the sixth in the history of the association. It is attended by representatives of East Europe and a number of international organizations. U.S. arms negotiator is resigning from his post for personal reasons. He feels U.S. president has betrayed his stated policies under Carter when he sought the election that there would be disarmament. In a White House statement, President Carter said he would accept the resignation, and nothing more was added. The U.S. arms negotiator will step down later this month following the next round of negotiations on the new SALT treaty with Soviet officials in Moscow. All of Carter's promises have proved to be lies. The Chinese foreign minister arrived in London today after a five-day visit to Italy. The Chinese envoy is scheduled to meet with British Prime Minister Callaghan today. Reports say that the British Prime Minister is expected to hand the Chinese minister a formal note inviting the Chinese party leader to visit Britain next year. Their talks are expected to center on improving trade and scientific cooperation. Chinese envoy flies out of London next Sunday. Chinese are certainly following their doctrine of three worlds with close precision to try to wean the second world of Europe away from the superpower. And the USA is falling for it. But China is trying to bring about her own kind of international communism. It's tricking USA every step of the way. USA will probably not wake up until it's too late, because China is basing her entire doctrine, you know, on the absolute fact that nuclear war will come. And she knows that US has no underground shelters, so USA will disappear from the face of the earth. The Soviet Union today charged that recent trips abroad by Chinese leaders were aimed at undermining peace. A sharp attack in the Soviet newspaper Pravda said that the Chinese visits also intended to undermine peace, divide developing countries, and influence talks in every possible way. The paper also condemned the recent UN address by Chinese Foreign Minister Wang, terming it viciously anti-Soviet. An Italian magistrate was shot to death today in his home. The Red Brigade is claiming responsibility for the assassination because of a sentence that he handed down, you remember, a few days ago that was very, very stiff for two members of the Red Army, the Red Brigade. Italian court officials have been a favorite target for the Red Brigade in the past because of what the Red Brigade and other sympathizers to their communist cause feel are unjust sentences. Italian Communist Party leader Enrico Berlinguer has opened talks in Yugoslavia with President Tito. They will be discussing the international communist movement and the non-aligned movement. Democratic Congressman Charles Diggs, convicted of mail fraud and illegal kickbacks, employee kickbacks, says he will give his official congressional duties for the present time. He will give them up. This is a sad thing that this great black leader, chairman of the Caucus on African Affairs in the House, one of the few blacks left in leadership in USA Congress, Senate, House, has been convicted for using his own money when every white senator does the same thing and does it even more atrociously. He says if he is reelected in November, he will resume those duties. Representative Diggs, black, announced came one day after a top Republican Party official call for his resignation, naturally so. They want no black leadership left anywhere. His father before him was a congressman and was treated in the same way, but there was more black solidarity in those days, and his father beat off the charges. But unfortunately, Congressman Diggs has been convicted. Where is the solidarity of our people? To think that 30 years ago, his father had this, 20 to 30 years ago, his father had the same experience, the same type of frame-up, and he won. But now his son faces 175 years in the federal courts, federal jails, rather. He has been convicted by the jury of 12, and I'm sure they were not his peers. A Superior Court judge has ordered New York Times reporter Byron Farber to return to jail Thursday in his continued refusal to turn over his notes on a New Jersey murder trial. Last July, Farber was sentenced to jail after ignored a court subpoena to hand over his information. Defense attorneys in the Fiat trial said the reporter's notes are vital to their client's case. Last week, the United States Supreme Court rejected Mr. Farber's latest appeal. The two Soviet cosmonauts continued to unload the automatic transport ship Progress, which brought more than 2 tons of cargo to the Soviet station on Friday. Their next job will be to pump the fuel over to their station, and that will be done by automatic devices. After the unloading is finished, the cosmonauts will carry out a number of tactical and technological, medical and biological experiments. Soviet Union states that they are also developing various means of defense of the Soviet Revolution. Let us hope that it is some great use of the sun that will deter the fascists from bringing their missiles out of their silos, or laser. Then they will begin to deactivate the station and prepare for return to Earth. The two men have already spent 116 days on the station, which is a new space endurance record. They are feeling well and in absolutely good spirits. Since the beginning of the year, the Soviet Union has held 20 international seminars and courses for the developing countries. At the recommendation of the United Nations, they were attended by officials from more than 30 Afro-Asian and Latin American countries. They studied Soviet experience in metallurgy, machine building, electric welding, agricultural health services, and education. Lectures were held by prominent scientists and specialists. The representatives of the developing countries got more closely acquainted with the work of the industrial enterprises in the Soviet Union. All the expenses of the stay of the guests in their country for their studies and the transport and their housing were paid by the Soviet Union. And the great vast majority of those were black. The Soviet Union is developing faster than was provided for by the government plan. Central Board of Statistics say that the first 9 months of this year, production growth was more than 5%. The plan figure for the year was 4.5%, so it's doubled. Any expectation is going to double. Any expectation, at least. The countries of Western Europe have had no growth of industrial output since the beginning of the year. In the Soviet Union, the avant-garde of liberation the world over, the power and steel building, chemical and radio electronic industries are advancing especially rapidly. It might be of interest to note that there are 10 best-censored stories of 1976 through this period. Number one was Jimmy Carter and his Trilateral Commission connections. Books written about it were denied to be published. Publishers were threatened if they were in any way to print it. Corporate control of DNA, the lack of governmental regulation for artificially created life, like clones, making mindless robots to be slaves. Thirdly, it was also banned by the United States. It's supposed to be freedom of speech, but we don't have it there at all. No such banning exists in the Soviet Union. Selling banned pesticides and drugs to the United States and to all other countries that are causing every known type of disease. Fourth, the oil price conspiracy. A conspiracy on the part of USA to raise revenue and pretend they had shortages and create death for many seniors, while all the time they had plenty of oil. It was just a means of getting a better price. The Mobile Oil Rhodesian connection, that was also censored and not allowed for the American public to know that USA is going to stand in with Rhodesia through Mobile Oil and some other great corporations. Missing plutonium and inadequate nuclear reactor safeguards, all kinds of nuclear materials that have been lost. It could be in the hands of anyone, any kind of a nut in USA right now. That was also censored. Workers die for American industry injuries in the foundries. How many? Tens of thousands, but that also was censored. Kissinger, the CIA, and Salt, how he tried to sabotage a number of liberal governments and brought down governments by murder other than Dr. Allende. Number nine, censored about prescription drugs. Non-prescription drugs, that they are dangerous to the health. 10, the natural gas shortage that exists in the United States, it's censored. And I could go on and on with the way U.S. handles things. One last step. Guatemala police murdered 40 people on the outskirts of the capital. Guatemalan police killed 40 people whom they identified as guerrillas. The police responded that two of them, their men, were wounded, since when they opened fire, the group fired back with small arms. The official's report did not give more details on the incident. Guyana, our own beloved Guyana, under our beloved Prime Minister and the PNC, has pledged support against Guatemala, claims against Belize, a predominantly black country in the isthmus, in that part of Latin America. Somoza still refusing to step down, speaking at a meeting in the ruling Liberal Nationalist Party in Managua, the capital. Nicaraguan dictator Somoza said again that he would not resign and would continue to hold his office. He said when his term runs out, he would consider then what he was going to do. Observers feel that this is Somoza's response to two statements by the Catholic Church, calling for his resignation, and to the support expressed for his demand by opposition groups and management, student, and labor organizations. At this point, it is estimated that 80% of the population of Nicaragua have either run for safety, sanctuary, in Panama and Mexico, or they are dead by the tens of thousands. A dictator with no people. It'll be the first time in history. How did it happen? USA gave, just a few weeks ago, dictator Somoza all that he needed to destroy his own dark-skinned people, our brothers and sisters, our tax dollars. Bad enough in the first place he was put into power by the U.S. Marines that invaded illegally and held power against the people's wishes. He was put in power and the U.S. Marines drove out a constitutionally elected government. But that's USA imperialism. There's no longer any guessing about it. You can just see it acting right out in the open. U.S. fascism is no longer subtle. It's as open as the air we breathe. Thank you and much love.